Greetings this morning. It's been a tremendous blessing and joy to be here already this morning. Blessed with the song service, the thoughts that Mose shared as well. I've been encouraged. Before I start, I'd like to just bow and have a word of prayer. Our Father, this morning as we bow before you, we again just want to lift you up and exalt you, want to magnify you as King and Lord of all. We want to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to come to seek you together as a body of believers. We thank you, Lord, this morning that we know that you are here. We know that you have come. You blessed us abundantly already. And this morning our heart's desire is, as has already been mentioned, to lift you up, to exalt you, Lord, that all men would be drawn to yourself, Lord. We want your will to be done. Father, guard my tongue, guard my thoughts. I just desire, Lord, that you would be lifted up and exalted today in everything that is said and done. We commit this service into your hand, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the thoughts that I have this morning, I want it to be an encouragement to each and every one of us. I want it to be something that we can take home and use through this next week. Use it today. And so before I start, before I get into the opening here, I'd like to ask a few questions, and then I'd like to look into the scriptures and answer them. I'll let God answer them through His Word. The thought was sprung into my heart as we were in Alabama prison ministry here several weeks ago. That's something that was shared there. Now, it's not, I'm not necessarily taking his thought and going on with it, but that's where it started in my heart. And the question is, who will leave here with the greatest blessing today? Who will leave here with the greatest blessing? Or you can say that for next week. Who will leave here with the greatest blessing? And I'd like for that to be the title. That's kind of maybe a little odd. But I'd like to look at God's Word and consider that question. Which of us will go home with the most spiritual food? And these two questions are intertwined with each other. You can't really separate them. I was going to bring a chair up here, and the thought that was shared at in Alabama was, are you expecting God to do great things? Did you come expecting God to do great things? Did we come expecting something this morning? Did we just show up here because this is what we do on a Sunday morning? Or did we come expecting not to hear from me, but to hear from God? Was that our expectation? And what he had is he had us all sit at the edge of our seats. And I don't necessarily think that's how we should sit in a church service, but on the other hand, there's an attitude of our heart that goes with that. Sitting at the edge of our seat or just slumped over and not really with it, not really putting our heart into it. And so that's kind of the thrust of what I want to share this morning is, are you excited to be here? Did you come expecting to hear from God this morning? Are you excited? And next week, not just this morning, but throughout at any time, I guess. So I'm going to ask the question another way to maybe make it make more sense. The one who has been seeking God, we're going to ask the question, the one who has, who will get the most? The one who has been seeking God and has given himself to prayer, or the one that just kind of shows up on a Sunday morning? And I trust that that's not our heart here, but I think you hear me. Who will leave with the most? If this cup was you and I, whose cup will get filled? The one that has been seeking God, or the one that has been just comes in and just fills his place? I pictured a nest of birds, the little birdies in a nest. Who gets the most food? The one who squeaks the loudest, right? Now, we need to take that in the right way, but that is reality. That is reality. The little bird that squeaks the loudest gets the most food. That's just the way it is. Think of a bank account. Who gets the most out of their bank account? The one who puts most in. Now that doesn't sound very spiritual, but there's a principle here in the Bible that we're going to look at here in a little bit that I think will make this all make sense. So how are we here? Excited? Expecting? Another question. Do you think God is excited this morning? I think God is excited. I mean, He cared enough for you that as Moses, I had to think of some of the thoughts that Moses shared. He loves us so much that he gave what? His son. So do you think that he's excited with our gathering this morning? Do you think he's expecting great things today, next week? I think he is. Not just for our benefit, but for his. He gave most, so he receives most. In Revelations, I'm going to read Revelations 19, the first 10 verses. Get a few thoughts to start with out of there, and then we're going to find our way here. And it says, after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great war, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, hath avenged the blood of the servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give glory and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saint, righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, and have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of the prophecy. And I want to start with, I would like to look a little bit at verse 7. And this is the revelation through time, and it's coming to the end of time here in chapter 19. In verse 7 he says, And let us be glad and rejoice. Are we glad and rejoicing this morning? The word glad means to be full of cheer and to rejoice. Now, the word rejoice means to exalt, to be exceedingly glad, with exceeding joy. And it says to jump for joy. Sounds a little charismatic, and I'm not necessarily promoting charismaticness this morning, but are we excited? Are we expecting something this morning? How does this verse apply to us this morning? Are we a part of the bride of Christ? Is this gathering this morning part of making ourselves ready? Now, thinking of a literal wedding, what happens in the months and weeks and days before the wedding? If you say stress, then I think you should downsize a little or something. But it should be full of joy and excitement, preparation. Maybe the bride is, or the groom is sitting at the edge of his seat. Are we this morning? Are we looking? Are we with that same desire looking forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb? Are we with that same anticipation getting ready for that marriage? We don't know when this wedding is going to take place. So at all times we should be ready. The second last verse of the Bible says, "And he which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, Lord Jesus." I think I quoted that a little wrong. "And he which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Is that our heart this morning? Are we looking forward? Are our hearts saying, "Amen, Lord, please come"? Are we expecting that? I mean, are we ready for that? Are our hearts, does that bring joy to your heart when you think of Christ returning? Or is it, "I wonder if I'm ready"? God wants us to be ready. He wants us to be excited for this wedding that is coming. And in verse 9 of the chapter 19 that we read, that word blessed also stood out to me. It means to supremely bless, a fortunate, well off, happy. It says, "Write unto me," and he saith unto me, "Write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." So are we called this morning? We're all called. We're very fortunate, aren't we? Extremely blessed. Now, we will also get a greater blessing if we heed to that calling and avail ourselves to that wedding. Does that excite you this morning? I also want to look at another marriage that Jesus talked about in Matthew 25 a little bit. In the first 13 verses of chapter 25 of Matthew. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather unto them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And I just had to think this morning, talking about who will receive the greatest blessing. Those that have their pots full of oil, right? Those that have their lamps full of oil. What was that oil? We could say it was many things. But this morning, did we come to fill our lamps? Next week, are we expecting oil for our lamps? You know, there's many lamps that are about burning out. They're barely making it. And there's ways to fill them lamps. Busyness of life is not one of them. Chasing after that dollar is not one of them. But seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how we fill our vessels. That's how we fill lamps with oil. So this morning, may we have our lamps here that God would fill it with oil. Next week, may God pour oil into our lamps that they shine in this dark world. May they shine brightly in this dark world. Now, I also want to say, don't just wait till next. Don't go from Sunday to Sunday expecting your lamp to keep burning that way, because it doesn't happen. We need to daily, continuously come before the Lord and have Him fill our lamps. We're leaky vessels. He needs to continuously pour oil into our lamps. I want to read some Psalms this morning. Thinking David, a man after God's own heart. Thinking of rejoicing, singing, being glad. That is a tremendous part of our Christian walk. If we're not experiencing that, our lamps are probably burning out. And so this morning I'd like to read some Psalms. And listen to the words. Listen for the words of glad, rejoice, sing, praise, exalt. Them we're all. If we're doing that, we're expecting. I mean, we're excited about something. We're not. You can't really truly praise God with just an attitude of, I don't really want to do this. But if our hearts are overflowing with worship, we want to sing, we want to praise, we want to rejoice. Our hearts are rejoicing. You can't help it. You feel like jumping for joy. So I have several different Psalms here. Chapter 9, the first two verses. It says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. And in verse 1, that word rejoice, there's many different Hebrew words for the word rejoice. But in verse 1, the word rejoice means to have your hands outstretched. I mean, it's not just a dull thing. And I'm not here trying to create some kind of a false. But if God is alive in our hearts, it should cause something within us to leap for joy. And so if we come to church with our hearts overflowing with worship and excited, you're liable to get a real blessing. To have your hands outstretched in reverence and worship. And it also has to intensively bemoan and confess. So it's not just about all praise. It's also to confess our need before Him. In verse 2, the word rejoice there is fairly similar to the first verse, or the first rejoice we looked at in one of the other verses. It's to exalt, to jump for joy, to triumph. Chapter 13. We'll look at some verses there. We'll read the whole chapter. It's a short chapter. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I console in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy exalt over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. And again, obviously David was facing some trouble, but in the midst of his trouble, he did not get down. He did not, oh, poor pity me, but he rejoiced. He exalted the Lord. He was singing. Chapter 16. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that have hastened after another God, and their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is my portion of my inheritance, and my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen upon me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also rests in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures evermore. Are we experiencing that today? He wants us to. And if we're experiencing that today, our cups are open, our lamps are turned upward so that God can fill, full of oil. But if we're gloomy, you're not going to receive a whole lot. And I don't want to put false hope or false joy in anyone, but on the other hand, may our hearts be turned to the great Redeemer that we have. There's many more psalms that I could read. Luke 10, verse 20, it says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. The Jesus had sent out his 70 disciples, and they came back, and they were all excited that the spirits were subject unto them. And he says, don't rejoice over that, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Are we rejoicing this morning that our names are written in heaven? Philippians 4, verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, it says, rejoice evermore. So, again, are we excited? Are we rejoicing this morning? Now, the next part of my thought, there's my thoughts are kind of twofold here this morning. One is, did we come expecting and exciting? And if we are, there's a way that we can receive blessing. And I mentioned it earlier with one of the questions. Who will receive most? The one who gives most. That's contrary to the flesh. And it's upside down from the worldly kingdom. But in Matthew, we're going to start with Matthew 7, verse 12. I'll try not to take too much time here. Matthew 7, verse 7, it says, "Ask, and it shall be given. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom his son asketh bread will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give you good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." If you have a son that comes and asks you for a piece of bread, we don't give him a stone, do we? I mean, we that's just not who we are. Well, Jesus is saying here that you who are evil know how to do good, know better than that. How much more will your Father? How much more will your Father in heaven? Ask means to get, to crave. It means to beg and desire. Matthew 21, verse 22, it says, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." It's not a question mark. It's a statement. Do we believe that? So this morning, if we came begging and asking and seeking God, do you think you will go home with nothing? Do you think you'll go home with an empty cup? Your lamp's about out? I don't think so. Not according to God's word. Now Luke 6, verse 38, is an interesting verse. It says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." How much will be given unto you? It says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you good measure." Now what is good measure in God's eyes? What is good measure in God's eyes? Then he says, "Pressed down and shaken together." I mean, it sounds like he's going to stuff it full. He's going to get everything in there that he can. But that's not where it stops. He goes on to say, "And running over." He doesn't stop when it's full. He'll just keep putting it in or putting it on. It can't fit any more in. It's running over. Isn't that? And he's not talking about money here. This verse is not lined up with money at all. He's asking us to give, and God will give good measure back to us. I'll read the verse without my extra thoughts in here in a bit. "And shall give men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Question: can you outgive God? Can you outgive God? "Give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again." Did you come expecting this morning? Is your cup, is your lamp turned up so God can pour out a blessing into your life? Can you imagine what kind of a blessing this will be? Now, who is going to get the most? Who's going to get the biggest blessing? The one who gave the most. Proverbs 19, verse 17, this is talking about money. "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. That which he hath given, he will repay him again." Whoa. Now, I thought he was helping the poor. But here it says you lended it unto the Lord. And God says he will give it to you again. Next week, when you're tired and don't feel like you can go anymore, give it what you have. God will give you a blessing. God will bless you. I need to close, but I have a few verses in Luke or in 2 Corinthians 9. A very interesting portion of Scripture here. I was going to read most of that chapter, but I'm going to break in at verse 6 and read a couple verses. And here he's again talking about money. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now he's talking about our giving here. That's the context of this verse. A lot of times we have the tendency that if I put money into the offering box, I've lost something. You haven't lost anything. If you're, I'll ask the question again. Can you outgive God? Verse 7, it says, every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now listen to the next verse. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now I would like to take time and go through some of that, but I'm not going to. There's the word all, there's the word abound, and there's every good work, all sufficiency. Now, what kind of lack is that? No lack, is there? In verse 11, he says, being enriched in everything, to all bountifulness which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Enriched. He's talking about us being enriched when we give. Now, I also want to say that he's talking about money here, but in Luke it was not talking about money. This goes whether you're giving your time, your energy, whatever it is, don't be afraid to give it. What have you that you didn't receive? And you didn't lose it when you gave it. So I just want to encourage us this morning. Are we here expecting God to do great things? Did we come with our lamps turned up and I'm wanting God to pour His grace, His oil into our lamps so that our lamps are shining bright? Or are we here? It's about time to go home. I just want to encourage us. Next week, we'll be tired. But give. Give. You can't outgive God. God bless you.